And go to Colossians chapter number 1, the book of Colossians. The Apostle Paul wrote this book to a local church, a local assembly, just like Crossroads. And so we're going to go to that book, Colossians chapter number 1. Does anybody need a handout? Would you lift your hand up real high if you did not get a handout when you came in? By the way, the page number for the Pew Bible in front of you is on your handout. So if you don't have a Bible, grab a Pew Bible. And the page number is 1224, looks like, on the handout. Colossians chapter number 1. What is our mission as a church? You ever think about that? Why is there a church here at 1851 South Clyde Morris Boulevard? Why are we here? Why do we exist? Why do we do this every Sunday? Why do we come together as a group of believers and do this each week? Well, who would we look to in the Bible? What man would we look to in this dispensation of grace to find out our commission? Who in the Bible would I, who do you think I would go to in the Bible that's going to lay out for me the core of what we're supposed to be doing as a local assembly? Who do you think that would be? Yeah, we would go to the guy that says, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. We would go to the guy who is really virtually the only apostle that ever mentions the body of Christ, and that's the Apostle Paul. Now, if I want to know what my commission is, might be a really good idea to examine what Paul's commission was. Because after all, I'm supposed to be carrying on what Paul was doing. So I'm going to bring it back up on the screen. God said when he saved Paul, he said, Paul, I'm going to send you out to the nations. And he said, when I send you out, I'm giving you a message. And the message I'm giving you, here's what it's going to accomplish in the nations. Number one, he said it was going to open what? Their eyes. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, in case you forgot. Number two, he said, this message is going to turn people from, come on, talk to me, from to. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, in case you forgot. Number three, this message is going to turn people from the power of Satan unto God. Last week, remember, how about being loosed from the chains of bondage? I know it was Time Change Sunday, but you do remember something about that, right? Amen. Okay, good. Now, the fourth part is this. Why is he going to send Paul out? Notice that they may, the nations out there, that they may receive what? Forgiveness of sins. Do you like that phrase, forgiveness of sins? Isn't that nice? You know, there's a lot of people that don't understand how desperately they need God's forgiveness. There's a lot of people out there that think, I'm okay. I don't need God's forgiveness. I got my religion. You know, I do my religious thing. I got my rituals. I do my thing. And I'm a good person. And they don't realize how much they need God's forgiveness. They're under a false delusion. Then there's a lot of people out there that understand how much they need it. They just don't know how to get it. They don't know how to receive it. Let me say this. There's a lot of people that know that God forgives, but they don't know how to apply it personally in their lives. Illustration. That's deodorant. Now, I can know that deodorant takes the stink away. But if nobody shows me how to apply it, sure not going to help me much, is it? In other words, if I take it and go, it's not going to help me much. You know, I got to know how to apply it. I got to know where to apply it and how to apply it. I'll never forget, each one of our kids, we've taught them how to apply deodorant when they get to that age, because it's important. Oh, man. Because he that stinketh in church must sit in his own pew. Remember that. Ancient proverb. He that stinketh in church must sit in his own pew. So there's a lot of people that know that God forgives. He'll take the stink away, in other words. God will forgive you of your sins. They just don't know how to apply his forgiveness. They don't understand what he's done to provide for it. But can I submit to you, every person in this world, I don't care if it's America, I don't care if it's Mongolia, every person in this world should have the opportunity to understand and receive God's forgiveness. Every person. Because it's literally the difference between heaven and hell. It's the difference between life and death. I want to answer three key questions. Number one in your handout, why is God's forgiveness necessary in my life? Well, I want you to think with me. I guess I'll put the deodorant down over here. Think about this. Have you ever had somebody offend you? You ever had somebody just really offend you? But they didn't get it. They didn't get it. They didn't realize they had offended you. They just didn't see it. They desperately needed your forgiveness, but they didn't really see they'd done anything wrong. Well, let me ask you something. Is reconciliation likely to occur under those circumstances, yes or no? Well, no. Because first there has to be an acknowledgement and there has to be an admittance that there's been an offense. The light's got to turn on. Well, I want you to look at what the Bible says about these Christian people at Colossae. Go to Colossians 1, verse number 20. Colossians 1, verse number 20. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, he's talking to Christians, part of a local church, just like Crossroads. And you that were sometime alienated, talking about alienated from God, and enemies of God in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. These people were alienated from God and they were enemies of God by wicked works. Because they recognized their alienated position and because they had turned to Christ, I want you to look what had happened. Go down to verse 14. It says, in whom, the whom is Christ? In Christ we have redemption through his blood, even the, and say it with me, forgiveness of sins. Because they recognized their alienated position from God, they were able to be forgiven and reconciled to God. Now, I looked up forgiveness in Webster's dictionary. And it said this, to pardon an offender, to pardon an offender, by which, I like this, by which he is treated as not guilty. When you forgive, Webster says, it's pardoning an offender. You're pardoning them. But then the rest of the definition says, by which he's treated as not guilty. There are a lot of people who just don't get it. They don't realize they've offended God. They think, oh, I'm a good person or I'm a religious person. I hear this a lot. Oh, so-and-so, he's a religious person. And so a lot of people think, I'm a good person. I'm a religious person. I don't need God's forgiveness. Oh, those bad sinners out there, they need God's forgiveness. But not me. Because in their eyes, they haven't done anything wicked. Do you want to know what the problem is there? I'm going to tell you exactly what the problem is. We see our sin from our human perspective instead of God's perspective. We tend to compare ourselves and our sin with other people. When I compare myself with somebody else, I'm smart enough to compare myself with somebody who's worse than me. How about you? Yeah. So therefore, because I do that, I always come out looking pretty good. And that's what we do with God. We don't see our sin from God's perspective. For example, the first of the Ten Commandments says, we sung about it, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Is there anybody in here who can say, I have always, every day, every minute of my life, loved God more than I love anything else? How far short have we come of that? Way short. And if that one doesn't hit you, there's 9 more of the Ten Commandments. You ever tell a lie? I've never told a lie. And somebody, you know, and you're in church lying. God said not to lie, because lying is of the devil. How about not stealing? You ever take something and not return it? You ever take something from work and think they won't miss it? You ever have the waitress give you back too much money and think, her loss? Disobeying your parents is one of the Ten Commandments. Now, I know that we would have never done that growing up, right? Did you know one of the Ten Commandments deals with sexual sin? Have you ever committed sexual sin in thought or deed? Jesus said to think it is the same to do it, because God sees your heart. One of the Ten Commandments says not to take God's name in vain. I don't use God's name flippantly. I don't use it loosely. I don't use God's name as a cuss word. I don't use God's name or Jesus' name as just a point of exclamation. I reverence His name. Have you ever not reverenced God's name? Or Jesus' name? I have many times. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And I think that as we go through this, it helps you to understand why the Bible says what it does in your handout. Look at it with me in your handout. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is what? None righteous, no, not one. If you look up none in the original Greek language, you know what you find out that word really means? None. There's none righteous, no, not one. And then look at the next verse. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you know that if you look up the word all in the original Greek, guess what you find out all means? You guys are getting it. You're becoming Greek scholars, I can tell. We've all sinned and come up short. That's the shoe. And if we're all honest, it fits. Does it fit just for us? Or does it fit the people of Mongolia too? It fits them too, doesn't it? In your handout. It says, my sin has alienated me from a holy God. My sin has what? Alienated me. There is a sin barrier. If you imagine with me, a barrier between me and God. That barrier is my sin. Now, a person may not realize it, but doesn't change the fact it's there. Okay? I mean, when we were at the Grand Canyon, you can drive right along the edge of that Grand Canyon. And you know what? I can say, there's no guardrail there. There's no barrier there. I'm going to go right through that because there's no barrier there. Well, guess what? Doesn't change the fact it's there and that I'm going to fall and die. So you know what? There's a sin barrier between me and God. I may not recognize that it's there, but it doesn't change the fact that it's there. And guess what? I will never have peace with God until that sin barrier is removed. Here's the neat thing. This is so cool. Look in your handout. It says, forgiveness smashes the sin barrier and brings me into a relationship with God. That's a good place to say amen. Forgiveness smashes the sin barrier and it brings me into a relationship with God. The Bible teaches that God desires to reconcile us unto Himself. Now look at me. On what basis can God take a sinner who's alienated, wicked? On what basis can God take that sinner and reconcile that sinner to Himself? Next point in your handout. Will God really forgive me? Okay, now here's the good news. You ready? Look in your handout. God has already made provision for the forgiveness of every one of your sins. He's already made provision for it. Hey, if you had $5,000 in unpaid bills and had no way to pay them, would it be good news if somebody said to you, there's already been provision made for every one of those bills to be paid? Sure would, wouldn't it? Look at verse 14. Can you get me a little water back there? Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, that's Christ, even the forgiveness of sins. That's referring to Christ's work on the cross. Look up here. Here I am, okay? I'm the enemy of God because of my wicked works. But the way of peace has been made through Christ's death on the cross. Look at verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross. I want y'all to say that with me. Say it with me. And having made peace through the blood of His cross. Boy, isn't that good news? In your handout, it says, when Christ died on the cross, He was absorbing the full wrath of God against sin. Because sin must always be punished. God must always punish sin, and God must always deal with sin. Thank you, sweetheart. For those of you who don't know, that's my wife I just called sweetheart. Look in your handout, Romans 5, down at the bottom there. But God commendeth His love toward us. How did God show you that He loved you? In that while we were yet, what? Notice it didn't say while we were yet religious. Jesus didn't come to die for self-righteous religious people. Look what it says. While we were yet sinners, what did Christ do? He died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from what? Wrath. How? Through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Church, if you could look at me for a moment, I want you to listen closely. So important we get this message to Daytona, to Mongolia, to, as we learned last week, to Ireland. Jesus Christ took the death penalty against sin that you and I deserve. So that God could justly forgive you. So that God could justly forgive me. He died for us. He died in our place. What wonderful news. God forgives. And you know what's cool about it? When God forgives, He no longer holds our sin against us anymore. Christ's blood makes it right. And Christ's blood on the cross that He shed makes it acceptable for God to do this. Let me ask you a question. On what basis would God forgive you of your sin? Because you go to church every Sunday? Does God look down and say, let me see the attendance record? Let's see, they made it 45 out of 52. That's the cutoff. Yep, you're okay. I'm going to forgive you. Let's see here. Let me check the records. Yep. This person was baptized, and the preacher dunked them and held them under for 5 seconds under the water. And so they were baptized, and because of that, I'm going to forgive them of all their sins. Is that the basis, yes or no? No. On what basis would God forgive you of all your sins? In your handout, there's a one-word answer. Let's bring it up on the screen. What's the answer?
Christ.
That's the basis on which he forgives you, is what Christ did for you on the cross. Period. That's the basis. Not your church membership, not your baptism, not your self-righteous religious rituals that you perform. On what basis does God forgive sinners? Christ. Now, the next question in your handout, how do I get it? How do I receive it? How do I make it good in my life personally? The Bible says that Christ gave himself a ransom for all. When he shed his blood, was he just shedding it for the people of Crossroads? Or for the people of Daytona? No. When he shed his blood, through that, is it possible now for everyone in America to be reconciled to God? Is it possible? Oh, it's possible. Was his work sufficient enough to save people in Mongolia? Yes. He gave himself a ransom for all. Now, is every person going to be reconciled to God? Yes or no? Well, no, we know that. We know that many will end up in a place Jesus called hell. Why? Has the debt for their sin been paid? Yeah. But many will fail to ever apply that payment to their sin-sick soul. I've given you the illustration before. If you're late on your FPL payment and it's $250, and they're going to turn your lights off, and I say to you, hey man, I got it all covered. The $250 is over here at the church, front office. Come by, pick it up. You can go pay your light bill. Well, the money's sitting there waiting. Has the payment been made? Yes or no? I mean, in other words, has the way been made for you to pay the bill? Yes or no? Yeah, the way's been made. But if you never come by and pick it up and you never apply it to your bill, what's going to happen to you? You're going to be sitting in the dark. Did Christ shed enough blood for everybody to be saved? Obviously, yes. But you got to take that payment that he made and apply it to your heart and your soul. Will you receive Christ? Will you receive the work he's done for you? Or will you reject him and say, I don't need your payment. I don't need what you did. I can pay for my sin myself. The people at Colossae had put their faith in Christ. And that's why they were the enemies of God and now were reconciled. Look down at chapter 1, verse 4. It says, since we heard of your, notice this word, since we heard of your what?
Faith.
Faith in Christ Jesus. Your faith in Christ Jesus. Look at chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Notice they had received, underline that, they had received Christ Jesus the Lord. I want you to get a statement in your handout. And it says this, to be in Christ means to be in relationship to Him by faith. Faith in Christ is what unites us to Christ so that His death becomes our death and His righteousness becomes our righteousness. Christ becomes our punishment, which we don't have to bear, and His perfection becomes ours, which we couldn't perform. How do you receive God's forgiveness? Look at your handout. It says there, God's forgiveness comes when you put your total faith in what Christ has done for you. Amen. Look in your handout. Romans 5:1 at the handout. Therefore, being justified by what? Faith. We have what with God? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You got to join this church to be at peace with God? Nope. You got to join any church in town to be at peace with God? Now, you may want to join. That's fine. We'll be glad for you to come to. We got a membership meeting tonight for people that want to be a member. That's great. But you don't have to do that to be saved. You don't have to do that to go to heaven. If you want to join the church, it's because you like us. And you're like, I want to be a part of this family. But it's not in order to go to heaven. Do you have to be baptized in water to go to heaven? No. Well, I want you to look at the verse. Therefore, being justified by what?
Faith.
Look at the next verse. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The moment that I put my faith in Jesus, it brings immediate forgiveness of my sins, all my sins. And I'm brought into an eternal relationship with God. And my friend, listen. If you don't know that you're forgiven, you can know that. You say, what, Pastor Dan? I've done a lot of bad things. I've had a lot of bad thoughts. I've done some really wicked deeds. Will God forgive me? I'm so glad to be able to tell you the provision has already been made for you to be fully forgiven.
Amen.
Every one of your sins has already been dealt with on the cross by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everyone been dealt with. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Religion says, oh no. Religion says, well, Christ did it enough. You got to keep coming to us. You got to keep doing what we tell you to do. And they dangle the proverbial carrot in front of your face. And you keep chasing that carrot, hoping that you'll do enough to get forgiven. And that's a bunch of hogwash. Listen, friend, Christ made a full payment for every one of your sins on the cross. In fact, go to Colossians 2. I didn't plan on showing you this, but look down at verse number 13. Colossians 2:13. He says to these believers, and you, being dead in your sins, that's what they were, that was their former condition, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, notice what God did for them. Hath He quickened together with Him, with Christ. So when they got saved and they put their faith in Christ, what did God do? Look at the verse. Having forgiven you some of your trespasses. No. Having forgiven you what?
All
trespasses. Look in your handout at the bottom. What's the difference between the forgiveness of God and me receiving the wrath of God for my sin? What's the difference? The difference is, bring it up on the screen. Everybody say it out loud. The difference? It's Jesus.
Amen.
Period. Can I say something to you real quickly? Before you put your handout up. If you have already received that forgiveness, if you've already got that, can I tell you, you have a responsibility to help others to know about what God's doing. And that's called what? Missions. And that's where we help people like the Richies Because we want the people of Mongolia to know that too. We want the people of Ireland to know about that too. And our commission is to get it out to the world. And we work through people like the Richies, and we support them, and we give to missions each week so that we can help folks like this get that gospel out.
Yes. Amen.
We have a responsibility to help others to know about that. See, there's a lot of people in Mongolia steeped in religion, just like there are in Spain, Ireland, and all, everywhere. And you got people out there that are confused. They are guilt-laden. They're in bondage to Satan, as we talked about last week, and they don't know how to get loose. And the whole key to the whole thing is what Paul was told by Jesus Christ when he said, Paul, I'm sending you out there to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance, okay, in heaven. And then he said, by faith that is in me. The way it all happens is by faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
And that's the message we need to get out. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.